Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gopala Jaya Jaya Radharamana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
All glories, the assemble the devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari Hari Bol. So, I'm happy to be here with all of you. So, Omaganatha Mananda Shah, Gananjana, Shabakya, Chakshura, Miditam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri Guru Veda Maha. So, I almost didn't make it here today, and I almost stayed in Fiji, not because I didn't want to come here, but right now one of our dear devotees, Vasudev Prabhu, I think some of you may know him if you're from Fiji. We got a lot of devotees here from Fiji. He's in a coma, and he's getting ready to leave this world, but it'll probably be a few days, and if it happens, then I have to rush back for a day to be at the funeral. So we all want to pray for him. And knowing this, it's like a reminder to all of us. Because, as it stated, the most valuable thing... Does anyone know what the most valuable thing is? The holy names. But what can't you buy for millions and millions and millions of dollars?
Time.
So every moment that is lost, you can't get back. In spite, of course, there's so many science fiction films about time machines, right? You know, Back to the Future or something like that. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. So there's... So we cannot get back any moment that is lost. And so just hearing about these things, of course, recently... I mean, not to be depressing or anything like that, but recently, every few days, I've had to deal with someone passing away. Either in Fiji, or in Australia, or in America. Not here yet. We won't arrange for that. But it just reminds you of how you have to become serious in Krishna consciousness. And the best way to prepare for leaving this body, the best way to prepare for that ultimate test is, can anyone guess? Should we just renounce everything? Because I was just reading in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning of the fifth canto, was about Priyavrata. Some of you may have heard about Priyavrata. He gave up everything and turned everything over to his son, Agnidra. And then also, I was previously reading about Bharat Maharaj, who just like dropped everything. It's described he left his kingdom, left everything, just like one leaves his storeroom. So sometimes we think to prepare for death, or to prepare for going back to home, back to God, we should just drop everything and go to Govardhan, right? I think like that. So, you know, we think, because we have the history of all these kings who basically did that. So, what should we do? Should we actually do that? And the answer, of course, the answer could be found by asking our spiritual master. In my case, my spiritual master is the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So how do I ask him now that he's left the planet, is the question. So we can ask by understanding the spiritual master. We should internalize. I mean, some of you have spiritual masters who have left the planet. The Vichara does, and other devotees do. So we can internalize the mood of the spiritual master. We're meant to become first-class servants of our spiritual master. So first-class servant knows the mood, like Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam. We're Rupanugas because Rupa Goswami knew the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so that's first-class servant. Second-class servant has to be told what to do, and he's happy about it. Third-class servant has to be told what to do, and he's miserable doing what he's told to do. He just thinks, why did Gurudev pick on me? And the 10th-class servant, he doesn't do what the guru wants. So, you know, so we should be second-class, but actually we should be first-class servants. And all of us, of course, are connected to Prabhupada. So when I have a question about, you know, what should I do with my life, I ask Prabhupada. Because we've internalized Prabhupada. And because another point is that as one serves Prabhupada's mission more and more, one gets more of attachment for the process of hearing and chanting. That's actually the symptom of spiritual advancement. How do you know you're becoming spiritually advanced? You get detached from things. No longer are you following the tongue all over the earth from one restaurant to another. Today we'll eat Chinese, tomorrow Japanese, then Italian. And then if you get the same thing every day, oh my God, it's worse than death, you know. Isn't it? Yeah, the husband complains to the wife, but you served me that yesterday. And the wife says, just shut up and eat it. So, one gets attached. Actually, it says one who is controlled by the tongue and follows the tongue everywhere, he can never achieve the mercy of Krishna. So anyway, so that vairagya is one of the symptoms of attachment or advancement. And another symptom is that one gets namaruchi. One gets a taste for chanting. And that taste is overwhelming. So that comes from basically pleasing Krishna by pleasing Krishna's representative. Okay, so to make a long story short, so you do that again enough, and then you think, I don't want to serve anymore. It's like a trick, you know. You're serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada, and you're serving. Okay, I got taste for hearing and chanting. Okay, no more service. Of course, chanting is service, but I understand. So therefore, you ask Srila Prabhupada, and so I've done that, you know, because I'm really attached. And as you get older, naturally, some of the things that you do when you're young are not as attractive. You know, when you're young, you like controlling things. Just like in Fiji, there's a big competition amongst the devotees. Who can control? Does he for Fiji? Okay. Everyone wants to be Parameshwara. Ishwaraha Mahambhogi Silaham Balabansuki. I'm sure none of you have that tendency here. So when you're young, it's sort of good, you know, there's a good feeling like manipulating, being able to tell people, hey, Krishnachandra, do this. Yes, sir. Wow. That makes me really happy to hear his obedience. So, of course, there's a saying. Does anyone know what the word oxymoron means? No. That means there's a contradiction between two words. Like if you say hot, cold. So you got a contradiction between obedient and disciple, too. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was asked how many disciples he had, he said, I have four. Two arms and two legs. So then you ask Prabhupada the question, which I have asked Prabhupada, the question, you know, all right, so it's time to retire, go to Govardhan, Haribol, Giriraj, Gija, everybody knows I have an attraction for Govardhan. And Prabhupada basically answers the same way, you rascal. Don't you understand what I taught you? Like Prabhupada said, when the devotees were telling Prabhupada to retire, there's this interesting story. Devotee said, Prabhupada, you just stay here, recover, get your health together. And Prabhupada turned very serious at that point. And he said, I want the benediction of fighting like Arjuna. You understand? Fighting like Arjuna. Not fighting each other. Devotees sometimes misunderstand that and say, oh, they're fighting each other. That's neophyte. You understand? Every day there's a new fight. Neo means new fight. So the devotees shouldn't have a new fight every day. They should fight with their senses. I mean, you want to fight? Okay. Right here. Here's your enemies. Kama, Krodha, Mada, Matsari, Vari, Baya. That's a good fight. And that's the hardest one to win. Then you become a Goswami. So Prabhupada tells us that our method of self-realization, which is in the footsteps of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is to serve the mission. And what is that mission? Tadbhag visargo janataga vipulabho. Yasmin pratipa pratishlogam avadabhachapi. Namana nantasha yasho nikataniyan. What is the rest of it? Sadhava. Anyway, to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious, to save the world, in other words. That's a Bhagavatam shloka. So that's our mission for Prabhupada, to change the world. So Prabhupada said, we don't want to have sit-down type of devotees, we want devotees who are fighting. So then I hear that from Prabhupada, and then I become further enlivened to continue fighting for Krishna, even as old age continues. Not that old yet. And then we're thinking there's no retirement. The only retirement is death. Of course, there is no death for a devotee. So that's very nice. And then the idea is that your attachment for hearing and chanting grows simultaneous to that, and not that you give up hearing and chanting, but you have a balanced life. That's the point. Not that you give up either. You know, you can go from one extreme to another. One extreme is, and we've seen many devotees do this, they're just serving, no time to chant, or they chant while they're driving their car. Nowadays, instead of these sheep counters, they have this little electronic thing they put on their fingers. You've seen it? Beep, beep, Hare Krishna, beep, beep. And, you know, and so sometimes they even put on their left hand so they can eat prasada. So they say, I'm so busy serving Krishna to be able to chant, sit down and chant, to be able to read Prabhupada's books. So this is another crazy. That's an extreme. And then people fall down because of that. And the other extreme is you just sit and chant all day long. And Prabhupada said in his Vrindavan Bhajan, then you're eating the mind's bananas. That means like a monkey. So, you're just an illusion. So there has to be a happy medium. And when we have that happy medium, we're preparing for death. We're preparing for the next life, but since it's death. preparing to go back to home, back to Godhead. Because if you leave this world meditating on your service to Krishna, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhinam, that you're absorbed in Brahman, in service to Brahman, that service is Brahman, you become Brahman, you become spiritualized, and the result is Brahman. That is what Krishna says in the Gita. So that's the secret. Be absorbed in Prabhupada's mission, have good sadhana at the same time, and then you'll achieve perfection in life. Like Prabhupada would say, what is the difficulty? But we make it so difficult. We have so many other plans. Like Prabhupada, one time I was listening to Prabhupada, he was talking about yoga. You know, people do all these yoga exercises. He says they make it so difficult. And they say Krishna consciousness is too easy, it couldn't work. But it works. And it's very easy. And it's practical. So anyway, so this is how we prepare for the future. What we're doing now, we continue doing, and we do in the next life. Narayana Parak Sarve Nakutasthana Vibhuti Swarga Bhavarga Narakeshu Apitulya Arthadarshana. It doesn't matter. Wherever we go, we're going to be serving. And that's the perfection. Then you'll be happy. Kevala Nandakanda. Okay, so any questions or comments? Nice to be here with all the assembled Vaishnavas. It's better than Fiji. About half the people here are from Fiji. What? Yeah.
I was just reading recently how Prabhupada said it's not possible to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Can you say anything about that?
Yeah, true. So forget about going back to Godhead. You know. Especially if you're GVC. Prabhupada said if a GVC makes a mistake, he gets to be a shudra in his next life. So we'll see you there. I'll be fixing cars or something like that. Yes, it's absolutely true. But by the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like we have this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a dog can swim in an ocean, a blind man could see, etc. Like that. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, ordinarily what is impossible becomes extremely possible, and it's sure. It'll happen. I have absolute faith that, to tell you the truth, I don't really want to go back to God. I want to serve Prabhupada life after life. To me, that's back to Godhead. And if Prabhupada sends me to the spiritual world to, I'm not going to tell you what I do there. To milk the cows or something like that. Or to be a cow. Then that's what I'll do. But I'm very happy doing what I'm doing now. I mean, if I can serve Prabhupada life after life, you know, it's so blissful doing that. So you know, once that's we're back to Godhead already in the Krishna. If you're absorbed in Krishna's service, and you don't have to be a sannyasi to be absorbed in Krishna's service. A grahastha could be working a job, giving the results to Krishna, whatever spare time, inviting people to come. Like Prabhupada was asked one time, what is a grahastha's duty? This is a newly married couple was asking. And of course, they were asking more about, like, intimate relationships. He said, what is a grahastha? And Prabhupada, instead of answering the question the way they wanted it to be answered, Prabhupada said, grahastha's duty is to, before he eats, to cry out, if anyone's hungry, please let him come eat. And then, that means preaching. It doesn't mean literally you have to do that in New Zealand, you know. Krishna Chandra will go outside, everyone's hungry, please come eat. Have a megaphone, you know. It means, you know, that Yari Dekatarika Krishna Padesham Ari Gari Guru Hoi Tori Desh. Use your energy in Krishna's service. Yes, you have to work a job, you maintain your family, engage your family in Krishna's service. Make sure your family is Krishna conscious, because you shouldn't become a father or mother or worshipful, whatever, unless you can liberate your dependent from the cycle of birth and death. But if one does that, they're already back to Godhead. I mean, I personally don't feel like I need any other liberation from this world. It's just nice serving Krishna, isn't it? I had like Vichara was with the Harinam Kirtan, and how many hours a day do you chant?
Six hours.
6 hours a day only?
There are two sessions. Sometimes they go one way, say 6 hours, and sometimes they're three hours like this.
Oh, I see. Someone was telling me the story the other day how Srila Tummala Krishnamurti would sometimes have kirtans like from 5 o'clock in the afternoon till midnight.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. We're not going to do that because we're hungry. But anyway, but you know, so it's nice, isn't it, when you're absorbed in Harinam? It's just so wonderful. You forget you're in the material world, and when I'm absorbed in Krishna's service, I forget I'm here. So what is the difficulty, as Prabhupada said? Isn't it? So we don't worry about going back to God. Although Prabhupada said that in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we should pray to get out of the material world. That is true. But as you advance more in Krishna consciousness, you're having so much bliss serving that you think, you know, I just want to please my spiritual master. That's love. That's bhakti. That really, really, if you want to get out, you have to not want to get out. In other words, it has to come to the point of just loving Krishna so much. As Lord Chaitanya says, you can crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You can do anything. Then you get out. So that's where they say catch 22. As long as you want to get out, you don't get out. But as long as you want Krishna to be pleased, then you get out. As long as you don't care about it. But in the beginning, we encourage people. Because people come to Krishna consciousness, as Krishna says, Chaturvidha Bhajanti Mam. They come for four basic reasons. One of them is to get out of the material world, you know, their suffering. So people come because they're looking for knowledge. People come because they're inquisitive. People come because they want money or they want wealth. Opulence. Not just money, you know. They want some material opulence like that. So, you know, so we encourage people in the beginning, just like Dhruva Maharaj. He was very encouraged, right? He wanted a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. And he got it. But once he got it, what did he say? He said, I was looking for some pieces of broken glass, and now I found a beautiful gem or diamond. So that's really what happened. So in the beginning, yes, we have so many ulterior motives. But then after some time, Hare Krishna, now Prabhupada, just let me serve you life after life. It's so nice. Because you love someone. Like a mother loves a child so much that she's not thinking, let me get rid of this kid. Let me renounce. Let me just go to the forest and chant Hare Krishna. I mean, how many mothers think like that? Hopefully not. You know, because there's love. So where there's love, that sort of overwhelms you, and that's all there is at that point. You understand what I mean? That's all there is. There's no more self-centered desire like that. It's almost like a mother's love for a child. I probably said, which is the closest thing to pure love in this world. It just overwhelms you. And that's all you can think of. You know, my little child, or whatever. Or my little Krishna. So, on that happy note, any other questions or comments?
Maharaj.
Yeah.
If somebody goes in coma, is it possible to remember Krishna?
Yeah, one thing about coma. The last sense to go. Does anyone know what the last sense to go is?
Yeah.
People actually hear when they're in coma, as long as they're not brain dead. And I have personal experience of that. I've never been in coma. But I visited devotees in the hospital who were in coma. And there's this little device, you know, a graph on top of their bed, which shows that, you know, the brain waves and everything like that. So I say something to them, and it responds. It's amazing. They actually respond. They're hearing and responding emotionally to what I'm saying. I mean, I brought someone back from coma one time like that. I said, you know, I was presenting him his mission. He had a mission for Prabhupada. And I said, you have a mission. If you can't leave now, you must come back. And then he opened his eyes again after 2 days in coma. So, pretty good, isn't it? So, I'll be going to the hospital and bring people out of coma. Yeah, so you can come out of coma. Although, when one is very old and the bodily organs are shutting down, which is in the case of Vasudeva right now, it's highly unlikely.
The best thing to do is just do kirtan. He can,
He's having Prabhupada chanting all the time. They have one of those, I guess, kirtan boxes, whatever you call them. And Prabhupada is chanting. So that's the best thing. They can hear. And they're aware. I mean, coma is not just like dead consciousness. They just sort of float in and out of different levels of consciousness in coma. Even I was seeing Vasudeva the other day when he was in coma. And, you know, I basically said, I'm here. And he reached out his hand to grab my hand. And, you know, held on to my hand for about 5-10 minutes. So there's some awareness. I mean, he's gone deeper into the coma since then. So, anyway, so we should pray for this great devotee. This great devotee started Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada came passing through the airport in Fiji on his way to Australia, and Prabhupada asked Vasudeva, is there any Hare Krishna, not Hare Krishna, but Radha Krishna temple here in Fiji? And Vasudeva said, no. And Prabhupada said, make one. Mm-hmm. And on that order, Prabhupada, this whole movement, I mean, a lot of the people sitting in the room wouldn't be sitting here today. I'd just be sitting here with some Kiwis. I mean, I wouldn't be here because I wouldn't be in Fiji, wouldn't have gone to Fiji. You know, I would have gone somewhere else. So, anyway, so based on Prabhupada's order, he took it up, and certainly he's going to a better destination, serving Krishna next lifetime. You'd be sure of that. So, is it time for prasadam?
Cake cutting.
Oh, yeah. Pratilakini. So, cake cutting. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. Jai.